Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Caravan of Garbage, everybody. FYI, look, this movie, Godzilla 1998, is the first movie that I realized that movies can be bad.
Oh, do you mean right now or do you mean as a child?
No, as a child. Because, you know, I'd go and see everything and everything was great. You know what I mean? I'd watch the Ewok movies. They were good. I'd watch Independence Day.
Yeah.
People love the first one but hate the second one. They're both about the same, as in not that great.
For sure. I agreed.
And coming into this.
Yes.
You remember the trailer, right?
Yeah, look, everything about this, all the lead up was great. The trailer where we see it's at a history museum and it's a dinosaur museum.
They're like, look at this big dinosaur.
It's the biggest dinosaur. The biggest thing you've ever seen. It's so big and there's nothing even bigger than this. And then the big Godzilla foot comes in and crushes it. And we're like, whoa.
There is something bigger, we all thought.
Yeah, and there was. The building that the dinosaur was housed in. But also Godzilla. And then there was the soundtrack. The soundtrack had Puff Daddy, what as he was known at the time, with Jimmy Page. It had Jamiroquai. It had that Wallflowers cover of Heroes. Do you remember that?
It did.
Every video clip had them emoting while Godzilla just tore the place up around him. And I was, every time I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool, but also get out of there. Godzilla's gonna kill you.
It's the biggest thing.
It's the biggest thing that exists.
It's not as big as the building, but it's pretty big.
Anyway, the hype was huge.
Yeah.
And this was bad.
Boy, was it. This trailer cost $600,000 alone.
Uh-huh.
And they cut it from the movie. It was supposed to be in there. They didn't even end up putting it in for some reason.
Yeah, right.
The funny thing about this movie is they spent years trying to get the rights from Toho to make an American version of it.
Because there was going to be one prior to this, like immediately prior, right?
Yes.
It was going to, and I've seen...
Went through a few incarnations.
And yeah. I've seen some production, some production stills and some like test models because they got to the Sam Winston studio to make stuff and they look good.
It looks like Godzilla.
Kind of a longer neck, I think. Yeah. Like Godzilla,
You recognize it.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, we'll get into the design.
Okay.
That is for sure. Producer Henry G. Saperstein, he came at Toho for 10 years to make
a version. He came at him threateningly.
Yeah, pretty much.
He did that thing where you're like threateningly shove your face in their face.
What are you going to do? Another reason that people got excited for this is because the writing by Dean Devlin, directed by Roland Emmerich,
yeah.
Both of them had come off the back of both Stargate and Independence Day, which were huge hits.
Yeah.
I still have never seen Stargate to this day. I've read the novelization.
Yep.
I've never seen the movie.
So you've probably imagined all the many scenes that were cut out.
Yeah, exactly.
They cut out for the final movie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So Dean Devlin, and he has gone on more recently to direct Geostorm.
One of your favorite films.
One of my favorite films.
Mm-hmm.
But their idea was that it's going to be like Tim Burton's Batman to Adam West's Batman.
Right.
That was what they were aiming for.
And I think they were also aiming for like Jurassic Park.
Yes.
But like gritty and cool.
Yeah.
I feel strongly that that's where they were headed.
But it's way dumber with worse characters.
Oh, speaking of characters.
Okay.
One of my favorite things, and this is something that I didn't even notice when the movie came out, because I guess it wasn't in my wheelhouse or I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
In this New York City, the mayor is Mayor Ebert.
Yes.
And his sidekick is a guy called Gene.
Yes.
That's Siskel and Ebert.
Not an accident.
No, of course not. But I wasn't aware of who they were at the time.
Yeah.
But clearly, because Siskel and Ebert, famous movie critics, rubbished Roland Emmerich's previous films.
Yes.
They were like, let's put him in this.
That'll teach him.
Roland Emmerich's German. So maybe this is some funny German joke that I don't understand. But it seems to be like, haha, you made fun of my previous movies. This'll teach you. I'll put you in another of my movies, which is very bad. That doesn't teach him anything.
No.
Like, imagine if they'd made Godzilla 98 and they'd put Siskel and Ebert in it, and this movie was incredible, and these two were like big doofuses in the movie, then you'd be like, huh, they did make a great movie and you guys were wrong. But they're not wrong.
And the other
this movie's bad.
Those two guys, actually, they commented on this when the movie came out. They said, well, we're in it, but he doesn't do anything with this. Like, no. We're not stomped to death or anything. They don't really make fools of themselves. It's just like a guy's like, I'm the mayor of New York. And the other guy's like, maybe we should... Bruh. And that's it. There's nothing to those characters.
They're the guys who are like, well, I don't think you should evacuate the city. But I mean...
Half the cast is that.
Yeah, exactly. that's every character in every one of these disaster movies.
So Toho actually gave a 75-page dossier over to the American creators Godzilla, right? And these are some of the things that they said just to steer away from.
Yep.
Godzilla cannot eat people, only fish. He has to have 3 rows of dorsal plates, no more or less than 3 toes on his feet and 4 fingers on his hands. He cannot be made to look silly. He cannot die in the movie. And all of these points were
ignored.
were disregarded.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the guy who designed Godzilla, Patrick Tatopoulos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that name sound familiar?
Nick Tatopoulos is Matthew Broderick's character in the movie.
I love that running joke where people can't say his name.
A very simple name with a limited number of syllables. Like, I just can't say it.
All Roland Emmerich said was, as long as he can run fast. Apparently he can run 200 miles per hour. That's the... I don't get the sense of that because he can't catch a taxi at the end of the movie. I mean, who bloody can in New York City? That's, you know what I mean? That's probably a thing. I've never been there.
Well, exactly. It's not like it's set in the American Midwest where there's just rolling green fields that he can charge down.
Yeah.
He's almost exclusively fleeing in the middle of the New York business district,
yeah,
which is all tiny little corners and whatever. You can't get up to 200 miles an hour.
So this version of Godzilla, the origin is, well, they keep the nuclear origin.
Yes.
Nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an iguana.
It's a mutated iguana, yes.
Yeah, it's heavily implied through the opening credits of, like, suspicious activity. The French are bloody bombing the crap out of the Pacific. You remember that? When that happened at the start, I'm like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Do the French have nuclear weapons? I looked it up. They've got 300.
Yep.
I double-checked.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, way less than others.
Yep.
But still some. Yeah, it also opens with Matthew Broderick driving erratically in the rain with headphones on. And I'm like, is that what they should be?
Because Matthew Broderick's history
with
vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, we're not going to get into it. But Godzilla in this, you might be wondering, where is Godzilla this entire time? 11 minutes of screen time. And you might think that's not a lot, which it isn't. Mm. But apparently the new one in 2014, I looked this up, 8 minutes of screen time. But people also complained about that, I think
that's probably true as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And also in the next one, it's going to be all Godzilla
it's
all the time,
100,000
I feel. But yeah, look,
minutes.
I'm not surprised that there's so little Godzilla in this, because it looks bad and it's composited in really bad.
Boy, is it.
There's a scene where Harry Shearer, who's the head of the newspaper, I think, or the TV station,
yeah,
is on the phone and he doesn't see Godzilla behind him. Yes. And that's because it's a really, really obvious blue screen.
Yes.
And, you know, you can see the highlights around the edges where they've cut it out. It looks so bad.
The worst one, I think, for me is when some soldiers are underground and you see the big Godzilla eye.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That one, for me, is atrocious.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it. There is some practical shots with Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit where you see... they go into its mouth and there's some hand bits and stuff and this and that. But it was going to be like a guy in a suit at one point for a lot of it. But they went, no, let's go for something realistic. But it has aged horribly.
Oh, there is a man in a suit for some of it. So apparently originally they were going to go with motion capture.
Yeah.
And it looked too much like a man in a suit.
Yes.
So instead, for a lot of it, they went with a man in a suit.
Not for the running bits, obviously.
No,
yeah.
No, but for some of it, yeah.
I thought it was like 10 shots or something. Like, it's not a lot, though, right?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It's like very limited.
Mm.
So the original script that they discarded apparently had a lot of cool things in it.
Oh, I'm ready. But this movie's already filled to the brim with cool things.
I know. Roland Emmerich said, it was something I would never have done. The last half was like watching two creatures go at it. I simply don't like that.
What?
Isn't that the point of most of these movies?
Well, the previous version, it was going
to
be...
That's what I want to see in a Godzilla movie. Yes. I want to see it smash a different monster.
That's why it's been. That's why this thing has been successful, you know, it was successful too many decades. 40 years or whatever it is. Yeah, like the original version, the previous version of Godzilla that we're going to do, it was going to be Godzilla versus the Griffin, which is like a sort of a flying... It was like, I guess it was a mishmash of some of the famous Godzilla monsters. One. But it was like a flying dragon-esque kind of thing. And at the end, I believe he was going to tear its head off and like... spike it on the top of the Empire State Building.
Nice. Yeah. Like a 90s basketball reference.
Exactly.
Or football.
Versus Charles Barkley.
Versus Charles Barkley.
Mm.
So, I love this bit because Wed Patrick Totopoulos. Mm. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Great. Because I, you know.
It's very difficult.
I mean, it's a good joke.
We've been here for hours. He's been... doing hundreds of different takes.
When they showed it to Toho, because they had to get it approved.
Yeah.
They were speechless and there was silence for a couple of minutes. Then they said... could you come back tomorrow? And they thought,
kiss of death.
Yeah, they thought it was going to be like, oh, we're done. But like later it was said, it was so different, we realized that we couldn't make small adjustments.
Well, exactly.
So they just went,
yeah,
all right.
Because it's not, like, again, for people who haven't seen either version of Godzilla, I guess, the original Godzilla is this enormous...
Bottom-heavy
creature that stands primarily on its hind legs.
Yeah.
And it's just this huge beast built for... just tearing cities down. And this new version is, by comparison, this weedy little, zippy little iguana creature.
Yes. The thing is...
there's no... You can't tweak that in post to be like, make the fins a bit bigger. It won't change anything.
No. I don't hate the design. It's not a good Godzilla design.
No. Yeah.
But the creature design on its own, when it's not moving, I think it's okay as a monster design.
Yeah, right.
It's not brilliant. It's kind of xenomorph-esque. Would you say that? Like a xenomorph and a raptor.
Yeah, absolutely,
that,
sure.
That kind of feel to it. These are the things I like about this movie. I've listed them.
Okay.
I really like the bit where it's shattering the pier. When it's coming into New York.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a great shot.
Okay.
There's some weird compositing with the guy running down going, I've got too much. I've had too much that I'm bargained for or whatever. He's running. He's got too big a fish.
Only thing you've got to catch is a cold.
I like the bit where Matthew Broderick comments, that's a lot of fish, when they pour a lot of fish.
Yeah. It harkens back to his Ferris Bueller days,
but
doesn't it?
What is that about? Why would you include that line, that's a lot of fish? Like, because the other guy doesn't even say anything. Just be like, well, don't you know it or whatever.
Is it
like
for people who don't know what a pile of fish looks like?
Yes.
I mean, there's so many lines that are clearly in there for dumb audience. There's like, how could a monster that big just disappear? Well, obviously, it went back into the river.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Back in the room. Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Speaking of going back into the river, I really like the shot where it dives into the river, takes a running dive. I like that.
Do you like Matthew Broderick's weird beret hat situation?
No, why has everyone got a weird beret in this movie? No, I don't like it. Matthew Broderick is completely without charisma in this. And there's when he's first met.
Okay, but who's with charisma? Who's the...
Jean Reno. He's amazing.
I was going to say.
And Hank Azaria.
I was going to say, who's the Jeff Goldblum of this movie?
It's Jean Reno. And Jean Reno's hamming it up, but he's chewing the gum. He's like, I'm American. And he does an Elvis Presley impersonation. I like Jean Reno a lot.
Okay.
I think he's good in this.
He is good. What about the rest of the people who are clearly drawn from like early to mid-90s sitcoms? All
like,
the other actors.
Like the redhead that first meets Matthew Broderick, like, and she's like, he's a bloody bit of all right. I'll tell you what, look at this guy.
Yeah, I think she was probably from News Radio.
And I think, like,
and the general, sort of the out of shape general guy.
I mean, it's got all the things.
And the wacky best friend.
The wacky best friend, yeah. There's three Simpsons actors in this.
Yep.
So there's Hank Azaria.
Harry Shearer.
And Nancy Cartwright's the one who's like, look behind you, there's a Godzilla. And he's like, I don't see anything. I'm too busy looking for a big story on my telephone or whatever.
Oh, yeah, right,
You know what else doesn't age well? There's two helicopter chases.
Okay.
One with three helicopters.
And you're saying both the helicopter chases don't age well?
Both of them aren't good, but the second one more so. Because the second time there's a helicopter chase, there's just 100. And they're all darting and weaving in between the buildings and narrowly missing each other. It's atrocious.
And it's just, it's fascinating to me that they decide, in retrospect, look, I understand they want a flashy action sequence, but it fascinates me that they went, you know where we should lure Godzilla? Right into the middle of the city. And then just fire missiles and cannons at him.
At everything.
At everything. And destroy the Flatiron building and destroy the Chrysler building.
It's fine.
It's fine,
Don't even worry about it. Because they do it twice. Like, the second time they lure him in, they're like... Or she. The second time they do that, they're like, no, we've got to be careful not to shoot any of the buildings around Godzilla. And they still do. The thing is, it has like the...
Lure him out to like the nice part of... Lure him out to the upstate New York, you know, where there's plenty of room for him to breathe.
Stretch his legs,
His legs, get up to 200 miles an hour like he wants to.
It has all the things in a Roland Emmerich, Dean Devlin joint that we've come to know and love.
Oh, yes.
Destruction. Smug authority figures getting their comeuppance.
Absolutely.
And it's crap. I don't think these guys have made a good film. Look, I know that's just me because I hate... disaster movies. I hate every single disaster movie. Every time I say this, I get a lot of grief. Twister is a terrible movie.
Right.
It's not a good movie. And again, it's the same thing of, did you see the cow? I saw the cow!
We know.
Saw the cow!
Everyone saw the cow, but also everyone at this point knows you saw the cow.
I know that, but people still ask me.
And that's the thing about...
I saw it, Mason!
No, I know you saw it. The thing about this movie is Godzilla isn't an antagonist.
No.
He's just like a dumb animal... that wants to live its life.
Yes.
And they're just shooting missiles at it.
Yep.
It's rude.
It's very rude.
They should have gone, well, it's awful that there's this thing and we have to kill it, so let's find a way in the script to, like, deal with him humanely.
Yeah.
And then they should have realized, that's not what a Godzilla movie's about at all.
Yeah.
Let's have another monster and have him fight it.
Yes. And then Godzilla's the hero or whatever, and it stomps off into the night or the distance. This is the kind of shit I hate in movies as well. Like, when characters aren't written like real people, because Matthew Broderick goes in to get a pregnancy test, and he's like, I need some pregnancy tests, but I need one. And he's like, and he names some specific chemical compounds, and the person behind the desk is like, well, I don't know anything about that. You're a real person in the real world. And this is a person who's working at the counter of a pharmacy. You just go in and you say, I need some pregnancy tests. Like, you don't need to prove that you're smart.
Yeah, right.
We see your beret. We know. We get it.
Yeah, we've seen you working at a computer. We know. Exactly.
And I love how they justify calling it Godzilla, like you need to, because they have a tape of the first boat that's attacked. Well, one of the guys is on there, and it's a Japanese dude, and he says Gojira.
Yeah.
Or however I know I've said it wrong. Don't fucking at me, all right? And then the newscaster is like, says Godzilla. But there's no way that you could make that mistake.
Right.
Like, so don't justify it. Just be like, well, this is what we're calling it.
Yeah, right.
Why doesn't anybody believe that the nest is real for Matthew Broderick? Because he gets the tape stolen from his former flame. His first love.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And then they're like, you're out, Matthew Broderick, and every theory you've ever had, even though you've been right every time, is wrong, and we're not going to look for Godzilla's nest, and it's definitely not pregnant. Don't even worry about it. Like, why did they disregard that? Just because somebody took a tape from his room.
Because they've worked backwards. The script, Dean Devlin, our old best mate, has worked backwards, and he's gone, okay, at the end of the movie, there's going to be a nest of Godzilla eggs, and they're going to be right on the verge of hatching before they're destroyed. So how is it we're going to say that nobody has taken any action before this? Well, we'll just say that nobody believes him. That's how plotting works.
But he could have figured it out after he was fired, and then he can't get back in. So he goes and Matthew Broderick's himself.
Oh, then it's bad writing. Is the answer there.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you mentioned the eggs at the end.
Uh-huh.
It's a very long movie, right?
It's two hours and 18 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
Because you think it's kind of wrapping up because they get out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just Jurassic Park with the raptors for like 40 minutes running around the bloody stadium.
Again, Jurassic Park, like clearly they wanted, again, a cooler, grittier version. But you can't do that if everything about your movie's bad. Like Jurassic Park, the first time we see the dinosaurs, it's daytime in a field. You can touch them. You can see them breathing. They're there. They're as real as can be. And in this, again, they just look like everybody's staring at a green screen.
It's clear also with the baby ones. The ones that are puppets and ones that aren't.
Right.
It's very evident. And sometimes they'll eat you and get up right close, and other times like a chandelier will drop and they'll just step right back.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like they don't feel like a threat because they only eat the French. Nobody knows the names of.
And who amongst us is the French? You know what I mean?
But it leads into that street chase I was talking about with the taxi, and this is another example of dialogue in it. They go into the mouth of Godzilla, and then they're like, "We're in its mouth! We're in its mouth!" Like, we all see it.
Yeah.
And everybody in the car knows that you're in its mouth. It's an unnecessary piece of dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And then they shoot it to death.
And again, like, traditionally Godzilla, invulnerable to all mortal weapons.
Yeah.
That's a key element of this being. But nah, just shoot some missiles at it, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we know now that this is not considered a real version of Godzilla in canon.
Yes, so, there is a different version of Godzilla. Yeah. So this was referred to, I believe, by a reviewer at the time as Gino, Godzilla in name only.
Yeah.
And the Japanese creators of Godzilla have taken referring to a version of this character as Zilla.
Yes.
Because the god has been taken away, is what they say. And also, I believe it's because there's a lot of Godzilla knockoff stuff in Japan, and it's just called blank Zilla. It's this Zilla. So they were just like, let's just call him Zilla.
Yeah.
Because he's a knockoff.
Yeah,
kind of
right.
Thing. He's a poor quality copy kind of thing.
And we see it murdered in a follow-up Godzilla movie.
Yeah, it is in
Godzilla War.
Godzilla Final Wars, I think. And he's dispatched in like, I want to say 15 seconds.
Is he smashed into the opera house maybe?
Yeah, it takes place in Sydney, so I believe he is. But in fairness, that's in a big sequence where Godzilla takes out a whole bunch of monsters in like 10 seconds each. So it wasn't just that one, but it's definitely that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the sequel, because they were going to make a trilogy.
The second
one was going to be in Australia, and they actually spun this off into a TV series. The only one in the world that remembers that is you. The Godzilla animated series.
Yeah. So the Godzilla sequel, it was going to make the last remaining Godzilla baby was going to grow up.
Yes.
And it was going to have children as well, because they're born pregnant.
Yep.
And include, like, there was going to be a couple and a runt of the litter as well.
Okay.
And then Nick Totopoulos was going to go to Australia.
It's Totopoulos. I know you said that.
And he was going to go to Australia. It was going to imprint on him. Then it was going to go to Australia. And he was going to follow it to Australia. And then the army was going to attempt to destroy it again. And then they're like, no, actually, he's with me this time around.
We kiss.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And there was going to be a monster, I think. There was going to be a giant swarm of bees.
Okay.
And a giant bee-esque monster called, in the script, the Queen Bitch. Yeah. So
who says there's no good female roles in Hollywood?
Absolutely. So that was going to happen, but then it didn't because obviously nobody cared. So instead it was turned into an animated series where the final remaining baby Godzilla, again, imprints on Matthew Broderick's character, and then grows up to be a giant Godzilla that is now sterile, so there's going to be no more Godzillas. And then it fights the original. In one episode, it fights the original Godzilla, who's been brought back from the dead as a cyber Godzilla.
Great.
Yeah.
So the series
was, I believe, more well-regarded than the movies because they were like, you know what, let's have him fight monsters every week.
Because that's what people actually wanted.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, this movie ruined a few things. For one, good versions of Godzilla, like around the world as well. Like obviously we didn't get a good Western adaptation until 2014. And even then people argue that I quite like that movie. A lot of people don't, which I can also understand why, because there's not, again, there's not a lot of Godzilla in that movie.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it also, there, it's...
But what it is makes an impact, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But it also killed, there was a Godzilla toy line from Treadmasters.
Oh, yes. Oh, and it bankrupted them.
It bankrupted them, yeah. And so initially the sales were really good.
Yeah.
Because people were excited for this movie because it looked amazing.
They were like, where's my Puff Daddy and Jamiroquai action figures? Give them to me. Give them to me.
And now this company no longer exists.
Jimmy Page with big riff action.
Na 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 na. Ah, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I quite like that song.
It's pretty good. Okay.
Also, Sony knew this was bad because the studio executives saw this movie 3 weeks before its release, and they recognized that it wasn't going to be what they hoped for and expected it to bomb. This led to them expanding the marketing to ensure a strong theatrical opening, which happened. Like, it made money. It didn't tank.
Well, we were hyped.
We were so hyped. One more thing. Dean Devlin, the writer of this and producer, aggressively defended this movie on internet boards. This is at the time.
On Usenet, probably.
Telling Godzilla fans to hell with you if they have a negative opinion. The official Godzilla message board was shut down soon thereafter due to all the heated arguing. And years later, Devlin admitted that he's recognized the movie's faults and apologized to fans in various interviews.
Wow.
So everybody learned a lesson, even Dean Devlin himself. And the fans, I think, have learned a lesson because, you know what, looking back on this movie, it's not that bad. Just kidding. It's fucking awful. It's really bad.
If I can just go back to Roger Ebert again. Because I'm like, Maya Ebert. And I looked it up. And then, of course, he's got a review of Godzilla.
Okay. Yeah.
This is his review because it premiered at Cannes in France, at the Cannes Film
Festival. Cannes!
Thank you.
In France!
Going to see Godzilla at the Palais of the Cannes Film Festival is like attending a satanic ritual in St. Peter's Basilica. It's a rebuke to the faith that the building represents. Cannes touchingly adheres to a belief that a film can be intelligent, moving, and grand. Godzilla is a big, ugly, ungainly device to give teenagers the impression they are seeing a movie. And there's an assortment of...
insults?
Yeah, there's an assortment of insults that are all fair. Now that I've inspired a character in a Godzilla movie, all I really still desire is for several Ingmar Bergman characters to sit in a circle and read my reviews to one another in hushed tones. Okay, that's pretty good.
Classy stuff. Anyway, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week.
We suffer through one of these every week.
Sometimes it's a good thing. Believe it or not, but if you've got something to recommend, it can be a video game, it can be a TV show, it can be a comic, it can be a movie, it can be an audio drama.
Could be a novel, just kidding.
We will never do a
novel.
Never,
ever.
Yeah. Also, there's videos every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and we, of course, have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That happens every Monday morning, and we've got one for the new Godzilla King of the Monsters, which by all accounts is better than this in every single conceivable way.
There's no way it couldn't be, right?
I agree with you, Mason, on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for watching and listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.